Cassidy.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune into Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
A lot of times we try to, the enemy will try to trick you into making you think you know what other people are thinking. That's where the deception come in. You know, maybe they're thinking this, they're thinking that, they're thinking this. No, this is what God is saying. For I know the thoughts I think towards you. My thoughts are good. My thoughts are peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a good future. God's thoughts are what? Now, the first thing he said here, he says, my thoughts are towards you, and my thoughts are of peace, and my thoughts are not of evil, to give you an expected end. So my thoughts, I'm thinking, are peace and not evil. That's enough, isn't it? God is thinking peace for you, not evil. You know, even in that daily prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. God's thoughts are peace. They're good. So think on the things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are of praise, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any praise, any virtue, think on those things. Think the way God is thinking about you and his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, I want to see you tonight at the Glass Center for our Thanksgiving workout celebration, 6 o'clock, 6:30 to 7:30, and tomorrow evening for the Young Girls of Purpose Family Thanksgiving Feast, 6 o'clock to 9. And call me at 903-780-2808. And listen, and until next Thursday, know that the Lord is thinking peaceful things about you and not evil. Amen. Amen and amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
KGLD, 1330 AM Tyler, and K285 GY, 104.9 FM Tyler. KGLD, 1330 AM Tyler, and K285 GY, 104.9 FM Tyler.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Community First Network Radio, and you're listening to A View from the Top with your host, Dr. Shirley McKellar. Today's show is being brought to you by Sandra's Boutique. Sandra Jackson is located out there in Overton, Texas. So if you need great fashions, those that I enjoy wearing, then go see Miss Sandra Jackson out in Overton, Texas. It's just 15 minutes away. She'll be glad to have you. And today is an exciting day. The City of Hope Mission, Inc. is having its public hearing. So if you are available, come on out over there on Glenwood. Yes, just north of Irwin Street on the right-hand side, the old, actually red little building. It's now going to be a group home. We'd be delighted to have you. 1 until 5 o'clock. Come and see what this community will be receiving. Children have to be taken care of 24/7. And before we really get going, we want to send out our prayers for the families out there in Sutherland Springs, Texas. We know that's about 40 miles east, I believe, of San Antonio. Tragedy this past Sunday. It is just really a tragedy that we can't go into our place of worship and sit down and be in peace and offer up our worship to our Almighty. without these kinds of things happening. We're just so sad about that, and we just continue to pray for those and those families. Very small town, took out about 7% of the people who live there. Okay, now we're ready to get going today. As always, we always have exciting topics. So let's see, where is that great team? I see Mr. Calloway finally made it in. We're glad he arrived.
So, Ms. Brianna, are you there?
I am. I'm the team so far with Mr. Calloway.
You're the Lone Ranger. Well, I can tell you this, before we actually really get into the show, just remember this coming weekend is Veterans Weekend, and on tomorrow we will be in Dallas, Texas. We'll be participating in the beautiful Veterans Day Parade and all of the festivities. I'm so honored to be able to be a part of that activity. Mr. Calloway will be traveling with us, and some of the veterans here, Ms. Yolanda, will travel with us. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, for all of those veterans that are listening out there and their families, we invite you to come and join us at an awesome event at 5:30 on Saturday afternoon at the Cornerstone Building. That's 200 North Beckham Street. We'll be celebrating and honoring those who have served this country. And in East Texas in particular, we're going to bring some people in to talk about how veterans get their benefits. We're going to talk about how we're going to work on homelessness in East Texas, because believe it or not, we have homelessness in East Texas, and we have veterans who are homeless. We actually have over 100,000 veterans that live in East Texas in the 1st District. And as you know, I'm very interested in the greater good of all, but I'm really interested in making sure that those who have served this country don't have to sleep on the sidewalks, don't have to sleep on the ground, don't have to sleep in a tent, because we do have a tent city right here in Tyler. Okay, I'm ready to get going, because I'm going to have to sneak out probably about 10 minutes till or so like that, and Miss Rihanna is going to take over for me and finish up. She didn't know that, so now she knows. Miss Rihanna, we're going to take off so that we can be over at 1 o'clock at the kickoff for the public hearing.
Absolutely.
So full for us on that. We're really excited. We can accommodate, I think it's like 32 children. These children will come out of foster homes from one place to the next place to the next place and have a little bit of continuity and stability for them. So let's talk a little bit, since we did mention the fact of what happened actually in South Texas. We're going to talk a little bit about mass murders on American soil today. And, oh, I forgot. The reason why I was mentioning about the parade also is that First Sergeant is decorating the float that we're going to be riding on there out there in Dallas at the VA hospital, decorating the float. So he will not be on with us today. But mass murders on American soil. Now, in the United States, the armed forces, the non-judicial punishment for people that got into a little bit of a snafu, they are carried through what's called Article 15. That's the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You're familiar with that. That's usually people who have not committed a murder or treason or those kinds of things. But we know that this guy that that committed these heinous crimes on this past Sunday was discharged, an dishonorable discharge from the military. And so we're going to find out a little bit more about what actually happens when this happens to a veteran, and what actually should have happened that we're finding out that did not happen with this guy. I don't have his name in mind. I think Devin somebody. But anyways, I'm not giving him much publicity at all, because I'm really sad about that. But Ms. Rihanna, we'll start with you. If a military personnel receives a dishonorable discharge in Article 15, as I mentioned, and on Monday night, we talked about this on Monday night on Marvelous Monday, And Chief Ron Spikes made an awesome comment that really got you thinking about it. But should he or she, if they're dishonorably discharged from the military, should they have the luxury of having a weapon in their possession? Ms. Rihanna.
If they are dishonorably discharged, well, let me say this first. We have been joined by Mr. Donnie Walker, and his line is open.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hello, Mr. Donnie Walker.
Yes.
How are you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Donnie Walker.
Yes.
Hello,
you can.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. We're glad to have you because you certainly can join in on this conversation as well. We're talking about if a personnel has been dishonorably discharged, Article 15, and we know that this guy was discharged because of domestic abuse, and we also found out that he cracked the skull of his stepchild, right? So considering all of that, right? Okay, Ms. Rihanna, you have a comment, and then we'll go to Mr. Donnie Walker.
Okay. A dishonorable discharge, it matters with how a person was discharged. There's lots of different ways. I catch myself just blanketing everything under dishonorable, but I found out there are tons of different categories. A dishonorable discharge can only be handed down to an enlisted member by a general court-martial. Dishonorable discharges are handed down for what the military considers the most reprehensible conduct. It is rendered only by conviction at a general court-martial for serious offenses such as desertion, sexual assault, murder, etc. They call for dishonorable discharge as part of the sentence and what the characterization of service. All veterans' benefits are lost, regardless of any past honorable service, and this type of discharge is regarded as shameful. In many states, dishonorable discharge is deemed as the equivalent of a felony conviction. And I know with felony convictions, no, you cannot own a gun or purchase a gun. But from what I understood, and maybe I'm wrong, but from what I understood, this shooter in Texas, the way that he was, dishonorable discharge from Pullman Air Force Base in New Mexico in 2010. Okay, that's what I read. I thought it said something different, but he got two counts of assault for his then wife and an assault on his stepchild, in addition to the bad conduct discharge. That's what I was thinking, the bad conduct. That was prior to the conviction, and then it became dishonorable.
Okay, good, good. So Mr. Donnie Walker, on Monday we were talking and having a great dialogue on this, and Mr. Chief Ron Spike says, what happens after you just continue having them in the military, what should the military do, if anything, to help that personnel acclimate out there into the real world, if in fact it appears, because when domestic violence is included and when injury to a child is included, that means that it appears that there has been some type of mental illness going on, right? So the question is that I have is there something that the military should do to aid that person once he walks away, and using this guy in particularly, once they walk away, should they do something to try to get that person some help, like psychosocial help, Mr. Walker?
I just want to back up for just a minute. Personally, I don't think he should have been let go. I think they let him go too soon. And I'm going to go back for a minute. A lot of balls were dropped, okay? And the military, and I'm not taking anything away from the military, but the debriefing or out-processing process, especially when at the time that I was in, it wasn't up to speed, okay? 30 days, and that was it. And within that, they try and cram so much at you within a 15 to 30 day period that
you
basically just toss back out into the street. If we want to go back and reflect, this gentleman he had problems in the military, and you and I discussed this yesterday.
Yes,
he had the abuse, and he went. I think they took him to a mental evaluation unit or a psychological evaluation unit. He escaped from that while he was in.
Right.
So that's a big, huge red flag.
Yes. Yes. You're right. You're right about that. That is, there were so many issues going on that and let me just tell you this, I believe it was Air Force, right? The Air Force says we messed up with this guy. Just what you're saying, Mr. Dunnewalker, is that they said we let him, we didn't do what we should have done for him. We didn't even make note that on his records that he should not even get to be able to purchase a weapon. What about that, Mr. Calloway?
That's true, Dr. Kelly. I did hear that on the news that because of this dishonorable discharge and domestic violence, he was not supposed to be able to purchase a weapon.
Right.
And the Air Force did not report that. So, yes, they did drop the ball on that part, and you have all these people dead because of that.
Yeah. It sounds hard.
Yes.
But they owned up to it.
Yeah, and they did. That's a good
exactly
thing.
That's
exactly
what Mr. Walker is saying. Any more comments on that, Mr. Walker, before we move on to the next question?
It's bad to hear something like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just truly sad. And the Air Force also, well, the military has also recently owned up that they have not contacted the FBI for something like, I think it's 2 decades. On all the people that they let out that should not have their hands on a weapon, something in that nature, something about that. So they got to be better. They got to be a better check and balance.
Exactly. No, the question was, what about the guy out in Las Vegas? Was he military?
No, ma'am.
No, he was.
I don't believe he was.
Okay. Okay, I could not remember that. Okay, Ms. Rihanna, if no more from you, let's move on to the next question. You know, the shooting, from the reports of this shooting, it was neither racially or religiously motivated, according to the news people. But we laid out how that this guy had been communicating with the mother-in-law, and he had been having some real difficulties with the family, just period. So the question, I guess, is, and it sounds like we heard a lot of things from Greg Abbott, and you guys may want to talk about what he said, and we heard some things from the person that's running, that sits in the office here in the First District for Congress. And we heard things everywhere in every different direction, and people had a lot of comments about some of the things that are being said. So, but if they were discharged for domestic abuse and injury to a child, should they just kick them out? I mean, we know, as Mr. Walker says, I mean, he felt that they just turned him loose too soon. But even if they were going to let him go, what procedure, what should have happened to help him to acclimate into what was going on in his life? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, if you bring injury to a child, there's something wrong right there. Ms. Rihanna, any comments from you on that?
Yes. Well, my first comment is the grandmother of his estranged wife was one of the people in the church who has passed away, he killed. And I wanted to point that out. And I also wanted to point out that, you know, the military, part of what brings people in and makes them want to sign up and serve are the benefits that you
That's
receive,
right.
you know, the honor to serve and the benefits. And the military, you know, has always, there have always been just all kinds of different ways that we've incentivized and repaid mm-hmm. our military, college and, you know, just yeah. services.
Healthcare.
So I would think that, yeah, absolutely. So I would think, I totally agree with what you all are saying about they just let them go too soon. I would think that one of the benefits would be that since, you know, it's part of the, you know, it's all just part of it that you're probably going to see and do things that, normal civilian wouldn't do in their normal life. Some of
right.
that is not easy on a person. Some of that's really hard on people. So you would think that if any place in the world, you know, that he belonged to, the United States Air Force, the United States military would be a place where if he was showing these signs, which he was, you know, beating
right.
up his wife and his kid,
right.
that they would know exactly how to handle it. And they didn't at all handle it. They mm-hmm. turned him loose into society to marry someone else and do the same thing.
Same identical thing.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know where the protocol was lost here, but I hope that they're looking at it, you know, to make changes.
What do you see that could have happened, Mr. Donnie Walker? Because we know what actually turned out to be, and we also know, you and I know this very well, that once they are excommunicated from the military, they're out there on their own. Does it appear that this really precipitated the issues that this guy was having, made it much worse, would you say? Obviously, because he took upon himself to take out 7% of a little town. What do you think that we should do, Mr. Dunny?
Now, McKellen, if you can, his chain of command should have got more involved in it with this young man. Okay?
Yes.
From his section sergeant all the way up his chain of command.
Interesting. You're exactly correct.
Come on. I mean, let's just be honest about this. You and I, sir, first sergeant, sir. This young man, he was having big problems. Okay? Where was his chain of command? I've seen similar situations.
We've seen it many times. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Where the chain of command, they list the young soldier, the young airman, the cadet as a problem child.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Walker, no, I was just going to throw this in there because you're right on point. We already know that the statistics involved in people who carry weapons as a job, we have high rate of domestic violence in the military. We have high rates in the police department. Those places where weapons are carried, that's why I find it very interesting that we don't see how there has to be some form of safety and not become the wild, wild west in America. Mr. Calaway.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of tragic because, I mean, you know, when you have that situation, there should be an aftercare, Dr. McKellar. You know, in any given situation, mental health is mental health, no matter what you say. And, you know, when you see people that are harmed to themselves and others, then there should be aftercare, you know, especially, you know, come out the military, but it doesn't necessarily have to be always the military. Mm-hmm. But the aftercare and ensuring that they are connected with the social workers and psychiatrists and counselors to continue treatment, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, a lot of times people take things for granted and say, okay, you're fine, go away, or are you in, and sometimes I get the impression, and I'm not a military person, but I get the impression, okay, you are a soldier.
Yeah.
So fuck it up.
Soldier
and,
up. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Yes,
network.
And but then, you know, everybody's individuals, and you don't know what kind of traumatization they had before they went into the military, and then in combination with what's going on in the military, you really have a person with serious issue with PTSD.
That's true. What about that, Mr. Dunny?
It's called M-O-N-E-Y.
Oh, it's called money. It's that power thing,
yeah, but,
huh?
You know,
well, listen, so guys. Go ahead,
go
Mr.
ahead.
Dunny. No,
okay.
No, you go.
It's called money across the board, okay? Money to take care of soldiers, money for this, money for that. Soldier, airman got out. No one did a check. He, 2016, he bought a high-powered weapon from a sporting goods store.
Right.
Money. M-O-N-E-Y. Let's just do this with money. It's all about money. Everything's
wow.
Like, just like you said, everything's political, Dr. McKellar. Everything's about
sure.
money.
Yes, sir. And what's more political than money?
Mm-hmm.
What more money?
Right.
Yeah. What's more political? More money.
Exactly correct. And we've lost our way with principles.
Yeah.
You know, we look at the four P's that that the author, whatever his name, Gentleson, he talks about power. He talks about principality. Mm-hmm. He talks about peace. And he talks about our principles.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, it's all about that money,
right.
Which is the power, which we forget about our principles.
But a lot of them is like moral and ethics values.
Well, that's what principles are.
Yes, ma'am. And,
yes,
that's right.
Exactly.
So,
exactly
may,
right.
May I add to this this question? I just want to add that if they would have processed him correctly and he would have been flagged, and unable to purchase a weapon at that store, he still would have been able to go to a gun show or a private purchase. That's a loophole that needs to be closed. So I just want to point that out, that loophole wouldn't have stopped anything. And
good
also
job.
One other thing, while mental health is an issue, and obviously we care deeply about it and needs to be addressed, the president saying that this is not a guns thing, it's a mental health thing. We don't have any more mental health problems than any other country. In fact, we're doing pretty good in that department if you compare to
absolutely.
Other countries. And we don't have any more mental health issues than we used to because we've gotten a lot better at diagnosis and treatment. So that, to me, is really flimsy. But what we do have is astronomically off the charts high rates of gun deaths and just about as much higher rates than other countries of gun ownership. So it seems to me that it is a gun thing.
Well, just look how many we've had. Perfect, Ms. Rihanna. Look how many we've had just in 2017 alone. And speaking of mental illness,
right.
Let's transition over to the next question, which is let's talk a little bit about South Korea and the visit that 45 is making right now. And we know that he says, and this is very interesting to me, it depends upon who it is. He'll call it mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had someone that sent me a message on yesterday on Facebook that says, ask one of the persons who commented on the mental illness piece when I sent this. I sent out an article that was talking about mental illness with 45. And
no.
So I can't remember. It's a Washington
mm-hmm.
Post article. And so there was a person on the Facebook page that, Ms. Rihanna, you may have seen it, that made a comment about this article, and she says, well, he acted like he was on both what the article said. There's either alcohol, he acted like he was drunk, or acted like he was on some kind of drug, and she commented that
mm-hmm.
both. So she was asked, a message sent back from one of the Trumpets that says, well, what medical school did you go to? So I said, well, that's interesting because Trump says, this was mental illness. He'll call one, if they say Allah Akbar, then that was terrorism,
mm-hmm.
Not mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
But he decides which one is mental illness
right.
and which one is not.
Mm-hmm.
But a young lady who is a social worker can make comments because she's been trained. So with that being said,
that's right.
45 called one mass shooting mental illness at the highest level. And then she also made a comment, Yeah, it is at the highest level.
That's right.
So no pun intended for me. I'm just quoting what was said on Facebook. But what is the difference between these tragedies, the tragedy in Las Vegas and the tragedy in Sutherland Springs, Ms. Rihanna? Do you see any difference?
Why, yes. Yes, I do. It seems
okay.
Between Las Vegas and Sutherland Springs.
Go ahead.
The difference that I was going to point out, maybe I was thinking of my answer before you finished asking the question, so I apologize.
No worries.
I was thinking
no
for
worries.
The president, the difference seems to be that if you speak Arabic or if you, perhaps are Muslim and probably from a Middle Eastern country, that seems to be that you're an animal and an evil, an evil doer or whatever he calls it. But if you look a little more like him, there's got to be a reason. It's got to be mental illness. that seems to be his criteria.
Right.
But if he cracked a briefing book every once in a while, it might help him to understand what's actually going on in the world around him. But I don't think he does that.
I agree with you. Okay, Mr. Calloway, any comments from you?
Well, could you repeat the question? Good.
No, I can't.
No.
Sorry, I confused everything.
No, it's all about the mental illness piece. Whether
yeah.
it's he'll call one of the killings mental illness, he'll
right.
call the other tragedy terrorism
right.
because it appears that they were Muslims because they said Allah Akbar.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, Dr. McKellar, to me, that is, I'm going to say, you asked my opinion, I think it's racist, because if you have another or a group of people that is non-white,
mm-hmm.
they're terrorists, but when you have someone white, they're mental illness.
Exactly.
So I think that's racist.
Exactly.
So,
okay. Anyway, as it goes.
So what's politically correct? We're going to move on quickly because I'm going to have to skedaddle shortly, Ms. Rihanna, but we talked about the Bill of Rights, and we know what the Bill of Rights was written for and so forth and how it represents and gets rid of hatred,
mm-hmm.
violence,
mm-hmm.
and, guns and all of those kinds of things. But when is it politically correct? Because they said, don't talk about this. Don't politicize these events.
Mm.
But then we don't say anything, and then they happen again.
Yeah, and again.
And then here we are talking
mm-hmm.
about it again, but we didn't talk about it in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
So when is it politically correct for us to talk about these things, talk about crime? That's basically what we're talking about in these mass shootings in America.
Yeah.
And when have we discussed it since Las Vegas?
Yeah, we've been having a lot, Dr. McKellar, even with the schools. We had these mass killings of the schools. So when you have that, and I think there should be a continuous ongoing conversation and get people collaborating together so that we can make the laws like that. I know President Obama tried to put a muzzle or whatever on this gun control, but then you got people like, yours truly, our person here in East Texas, and then Trump and all those guys, fighting against that. So when he fight against that, then I think they should be held accountable for all this stuff because of the fact that they're in position to make laws and stuff to ensure the safety of all Americans. And so when they want to fight against gun control, and then it's just a bunch of mess, Dr. McKellar. These people, like, they don't have no common sense. It's a common sense thing.
Well,
and everybody don't have common sense. I realize that. But those who do have the common sense, we can have dialogue on there and say, okay, then you start looking at those individuals in those positions and see, okay, who are you and what are you about then? Because you're voting no against more gun control and we have more people being killed. How many more people and families going to have to hurt? Americans
right.
can be hurt before you get your head out your and then go ahead and make these laws where we can put some kind of control cap on the issue. And continuous conversation with
Mr. Yeah. Calloway. I'm so disappointed. They're doing their job. They work for the NRA.
And wishing me well and wishing us well for the Circle of Hope. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Good luck. Good luck, Miss Dr. Shirley McKellar. And those girls are, they're so fortunate to have East Texas, the good people of East Texas. And the good people of East Texas are blessed to have these young women coming to join the community. So that's awesome. And I'm sorry, I interrupted her by making a comment to you, Mr. Calloway. I'm so disappointed because we all know that Ted Cruz and Louis Gohmert and the ones who fight against those measures are doing their job. You know, the NRA pays them very, very well to do that job. Ted Cruz, who stood in front of those news cameras right in front of that church, had the audacity when he was asked a question about, regulations, which that word is in the Second Amendment a few times, regulation, a well-regulated militia. He is the highest recipient of money from the NRA. So it's no wonder that he was saying what he's saying. So the question, you know, when is it politically correct to discuss gun control when we have these mass shootings that happen? You know, we have already had like 200 and something this year, and this year is almost over. And I say the politically correct time, I guess, is when Ted Cruz and the NRA says it is. That's what it seems to be around here.
Yeah, for me, when they do that, as you were speaking, my mind was coming to the part where you say politically correct. Do you mean politically corrupt? Because of the fact that, you know, these people getting paid all this money to vote no or vote down, you're getting paid from the source. So that, to me, that's politically corrupt as far as what I'm saying as far as, you know, this money thing. And I wish they would go back into when I was a little boy, like in the 70s, and I remember, you know, because we watched the news and Nixon things and all that kind of stuff, where they had these politicians going to jail for, bribery. And so when they made these laws to get money, they made laws for these people now to actually commit, you know, corruption.
That's right. Insider trading. You know? And, you're right. Yeah. I was going to say they can't do that anymore because what they did was they just changed the laws. And they made acceptable.
That's deception, corruption, and obstruction of justice. Because you're getting paid for the organization and all this stuff. You should have some moral values to say, listen, you know, we obviously, how many more families have to be hurt? How American people have to be hurt because of greed? Seriously. You know, money, you need money to live. But why sell your soul to the devil when you got all these people dying because of the decision you made in a position that you're supposed to be a public servant to the American people, and they're getting gunned down because they're not doing their job and because of the wad of money? I mean, that's selling your soul to the devil, and that's my personal opinion, you know, that they do. And that's something they should be thinking about. Don't let money be your reason for going to hell, burn internal hell, because if you're in a position to help, you know, in a situation like that, and you think money is temporary, your life is temporary until God call you home. But eternal is eternal. So you make your decision rather to go ahead and do the right moral things or, you know, make your choice in eternal hell.
Well, I don't think it's the root of some evil. I believe it's the root of all of all evil.
Yes, ma'am.
Isn't that what it says in the Bible?
I thought so. We all have morals. And ethics, and I feel like if you're put in a position to be a public servant, that's judges and everybody, you know, police officer, whatever, you know, you should be able to, first of all, you have a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution. So when you're just going to disregard that and put money over the Constitution and make these harmful decisions and laws that's hurting American people, that's a problem. And there should be some criminal action taken against those individuals because you're selling your people out. And, you know, and that corruption, obstruction of justice, that's illegal.
Right. Well, I have two comments on that, and then I want to hear what you have to say, Mr. Donnie. My first comment is you're spot on, and I think that we should all take our own personal responsibility. We can't control, you know, the laws that they've already made for themselves. That insider trading is fine, that bribery is fine if you're in Congress. We can't, individuals can't change that. But what we can do and what we have a responsibility to do, we can all keep ourselves informed. Everyone has a ballotopia. Every Congress member, every senator has a ballotopia that you can go to. I think it's ballotopia.com. You can read how they vote. You can look into who gives them their campaign money. We can all do that and choose who to vote for and choose better candidates, and we have a responsibility. And the other thing is, once we start doing that, more and more of us start doing that, and I think more and more of us will now that we've gone through the election from you know where, and we've spent the last year going, did that really just happen? And is he really saying this? And oh my gosh, you know, I think more people will start taking that responsibility. And something that we need to think about changing is perhaps Congress isn't the best place for the decision-making power of their own pay scale and pay raises and calendar and, you know, legalizing bribery for themselves, you know, and all that stuff. We've got too much money in politics, and, you know, so we've got to think about that, seriously think about those things. What do you think, Mr. Donnie?
I caught the tail end of that. Can you repeat that, Ms. Liana?
Oh, good grief.
I caught the tail end of that. Go ahead, please.
Well, I was just saying that, first of all, you know, as angry as I am, and I'm sure a lot of us are, about these decisions that Congress makes, you know, we've got 98% at last polling of American citizens, including gun owners and NRA members, you know, wanted some common sense expansion of background checks and, you know, some common sense regulation. And we've got these people who are beholden to the NRA who say no and fight it every time. So I was just saying, you know, that makes me angry too, but I think all of us have some personal responsibility in this. We all have to start looking into what kind of decisions these people are making in our names, and not just voting blindly or not voting at all. We have to have some responsibility there. And I think we should be seriously questioning, is Congress really the right place for the decision-making power, for how much money they make, how often they work, how much, you know, how many people, you know, insider trading they can do, legalizing bribery for themselves. I don't think it's the right place for those decisions to be made, because obviously they're not good decisions.
So I think that's why I said you need to take that out of there, because it's too much bribery, and in the long run, the American people are being hurt. You know, we're being hurt. And like I say, this is a country of democracy, not dictatorship. And so when I was saying before, you know, a lot of time when I'm away from the studio and doing other things, I'll be still doing research and looking up laws and re-educating myself continuously on things that's on the internet. But and you know, and these, and I look at the authentic sites like the FBI website. You know, I got some recent information pertaining to gross negligence in certain situations. I work with some projects where there is gross negligence. There's the other law they have on there that we don't talk about, which we should, on the FBI website, is called Color of Law and Abuse of Power of Color of Law. And that's dealing with public servants, FBIs, and all these organizations, government and state organizations, that are willfully, intentionally denying and depriving citizens civil rights and all that. And I thought President Obama, I would say, well, at least he gave us the 2009 anti-hate crime. Well, heck, when I was doing my research, he hasn't done anything, because when we come for that, because I ran into on the FBI website, there's a 1968 hate crime act. And I believe that was the one after Martin Luther King was assassinated. So what the heck, what is this thing that he has done? Nothing. You know, so it's just more or less people thinking they're doing something. And when you have people doing some own personal research, I'm finding some things out that is not so good at all. Laws that are, like we said, already there, but they're not being enforced.
I think if we properly drain the swamp, maybe. I think maybe, just maybe, we could get more accomplished. That's a long shot.
Right. They can't downplay things, you know what I mean? We're near, they're talking about in Congress and the Senate. You can't downplay things, and when things blow up, and you're not in that seat, you start writing books about, you know, what happened to you, where you should have been speaking that up inside when you're in that seat. So to me, it's obsolete. You know, I understand what you're saying, you know, writing books about how you felt. But when you were in that seat, you could have made a difference, brought it out. Don't sit there and wait until they attack you, you know, or call you James Brown wig, and now you want to scratch like a cat shaking in a bag, and you left, you want to scratch and fight. If you were in that position, you should have done it a long time ago, because I've been involved with political stuff, and a lot of time when I try to bring up issues, it's always put in the back seat. So now it's to the part it's really bad. You can't put it in the back seat no more. You got to deal with it. I hold Congress and Senate responsible for it, and as long as they keep on having 45 and Congress, I'm personally holding them accountable, because people are hurting. You know, the NRA should, because of money, the NRA should not be able to pay these politicians to keep voting it down, and we have these mass murderers.
Right.
So that's the problem with me about this thing. It's not common sense, and you know, you think about greed and money, and you know, where people are hurting.
Here's something. Do we absolutely need semi-automatic weapons out on the street? Do we absolutely need these weapons?
No, unless you're in the military, fighting a company of war.
Right. Exactly.
But out here,
well,
I don't see no news.
I'll point out that, you know, we did have an assault weapons ban. Dianne Feinstein, after Harvey Milk was assassinated, and he literally died in her arms.
Wow.
You know, that kind of became a big mission of hers, and of course now she's been a senator for a long time. And you know, we did have an assault weapons ban, and people say, "Oh, that didn't work." Well, I don't know what your measurement of didn't work is, but it seems to me that we didn't have these mass shootings with assault rifles when we had an assault weapons ban. And one other thing, I'll just point out, when you hear these baloney, canard talking points about, oh, nothing works, and, you know, they always just act like it's hopeless, nothing works. Guess what? Texas has lax gun laws, really lax gun laws. Texas has a very high rate of gun ownership, and Texas has a very high rate of people dying from guns. So we're going to have to leave it there, guys. Thank you all for being with us today on A View from the Top, and we will be back next week.
God bless everyone.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
No man, no weapon formed against death, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the league of justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day,